Hey, this podcast is not kid friendly. So if you don't want your kid to hear about sex and the word shit and all that other stuff, you should probably get them out of the room right now.
Everybody has a secret. Right.
This is Beyond the Secret, an anonymous podcast where I uncover the truth behind people's deepest secrets. My name is Ace Fanning, and I want to know,
what's your secret?
Welcome back to another week of Beyond the Secret. I am really, really freaking excited about this story. So the funny thing about this story is, you know, the way that I usually find people for my interview is from the secret shares that I do on Instagram. But this person just kind of was thrown my way. I got a message on Instagram from somebody and they said, hey, I have this guy and I think that he would be the perfect fit for your podcast. Then she gave me the backstory and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, my panties were wet. I was like, absolutely, you've got to get me in contact with him. And so she's like, okay, I'll see what I can do. And she kind of just disappeared. And I didn't know if I would hear from him or what. And then one day I open Instagram and there's a message from him saying, hey, someone told me to check out your podcast and thought that you might want to interview me. And I was like, abso-fucking-lutely. But here's the thing. This guy's life is really broken into two different parts. And the only way to tell you the full story is to tell it to you in two different parts. And trust me, part one is already an amazing story. But part two makes part one look like the ugly little sister. But part two doesn't make sense without part one. So I'm just telling you guys right now, you have to listen to all of it to really get a sense of the full story. So I'm going to stop talking now. This week's secret, breaking Amish. Tell me about like your very first memories that you have of being Amish.
The first thing I want to point out is my parents were not always Amish.
What?
They were not always Amish. I was born in Oakland County, Michigan, 1985, into a somewhat normal household. Like my parents, I was the first child in my family. My parents ended up having six children. I was the firstborn. And I lived a normal life as a child, other than the fact that my mother did want to homeschool me. They homeschooled me. They never wanted to send me out into public, never. But back then we did go camping as a family. I have some young memories of my dad going fishing and stuff like that. We had a camper. But around the time when I was 9 years old, my parents decided to leave the city where we were living and go shop for a house about 2 hours away towards South Central Michigan. And they wanted to buy a small farm and they changed their entire lifestyle. There were a lot more rules and they were patterning their life after the Amish at that point. We had Amish friends. We were having church with the Amish. I don't know what happened for that my family to have that turnaround, because my dad was running a construction company in Metro Detroit, and he was doing very well. He had several employees. Some members of my mother's family was working for him. He was able to buy my mom a new van. So he was doing well. But when we moved to the country, they made that move not really having a financial plan. My dad ended up bagging groceries at a local grocery store when we moved, because he didn't have any construction work. He literally left his entire work behind.
Is it super common for I don't know. I was kind of under the impression that people who are Amish are just born Amish. Like, you're in the community, mm-hmm. you're born into it.
Yeah, well, after being in the community for a while, I started realizing that there's people who aren't Amish and they're interested in becoming Amish. And then there's people who are Amish who are just tired of it and don't want to be Amish. And then there's the Amish that don't want to cause any strife with the family. They don't want any awkwardness or anything. So they just stay Amish, but they really wish they weren't.
How different was your life from, you know, being born to age 9 to then going into this Amish lifestyle?
Very different. My parents got rid of the television when I was 9 years old. And even before that, like, I have memories of watching Sesame Street and Barney. But that's it. I don't really remember anything else on the TV after that because my parents got rid of it. And, yeah, we didn't have a computer either. We didn't have internet, and my parents didn't have cell phones. We did have electricity, though. They hung on to the electricity and the van. So they weren't true Amish. You know what I'm saying? They didn't keep all the rules, but they were definitely trying to pattern their life after the Amish. But in my opinion, they were more strict.
Oh, jeez. So, like, you lived in your house on a farm, and did you guys eventually go into, like, the living with the other Amish people, or were you guys kind of always on your own?
We were always kind of on our own, but we saw the Amish and interacted with them on a regular basis. They were our neighbors, and we went to church with some of them. And church was just meeting in different people's houses. You know, the fathers of the families took turns hosting the Sunday get-togethers.
Was there any, like, pushback from the Amish people for you guys to come in, or were they cool with you?
Oh, they were cool. They always want to add to their clan.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You said your parents were strict, but what sort of things were they strict about growing up?
Looking at a woman's body, my sisters, and so here's a huge change was when I was younger in my first few years of my life, my parents would go, like I said, they'd go camping. We would go swimming at the beach, at the campground. But when they made their transition, they cracked down on all of that. We no longer would go to public swimming areas. My mom no longer wore a swimsuit or shorts or pants. She wore handmade dresses, and that's what my sisters wore as well. They even wore the head covering bonnets for a while too. I don't know. My mom was really against exposing my eyes to a woman's body. And every newspaper that got delivered to the house, my mother would go through it with a permanent marker. And any advertisement that had a woman in there, she would scribble out so I couldn't see it.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of work.
And obviously, they wouldn't have let me off the farm either. Even in the summertime, like, I wasn't allowed to go to the grocery store with my mom because there would be other girls there with their families or whatever. Skimpily dressed women in the summertime.
Is there a lot of Amish people in Michigan?
Yes, there's quite a few where I lived.
I've never met an Amish person. I know that one time we were on a road trip somewhere and we saw Amish people, but other than that, I don't really have any experience with Amish people.
So the one thing that I was kind of jealous about was that the true Amish, even those kids, like, got a break. I think it was called Rumspringer. When they could, I don't remember if the age was 16 or if it was 18, but they were allowed to go and do whatever they wanted for a year. And then they could decide to either come back to the Amish or continue living the ways of the world. And my parents never granted me that. I was never allowed out of their sight.
So were you homeschooled then your entire time?
My entire time.
Oh, God.
Never set foot in a public school.
Did you have friends?
No. There was a couple other young men from the fellowship where we would get together. But, I mean, I really only saw them on the Sundays when our families would get together with them. So, no, I didn't really have friends. And let's check this out. I remember those boys once. They called my parents. They said, hey, me and the guys, we're going canoeing. We want to see if Shane could go with us. And my parents were so strict, they would not let me go canoeing with the other boys from the fellowship because they didn't trust them. and they didn't know what they were going to expose me to. So that's when I started getting a little irritated with my parents. And that wasn't until I was like 18 though.
Oh God, at 18, you couldn't go to the fishing hole.
Oh no.
And you have no idea what the hell made your parents decide to live this lifestyle.
Looking back on it, I've wondered the same thing. And I'm always going to wonder if my dad ever cheated on my mom, because she ran the household after that. When we moved, all the rules were from her. But my mom really did not want me doing anything outside the farm or outside their supervision, even as I got older, 18, 19, 20. And she influenced my father to enforce rules that would keep me at home.
Like, what sort of rules did you have?
Well, I wasn't allowed to leave the farm, like, for anything. I could go with my dad to the hardware store once in a while. I was not allowed to walk through the Walmart store because of advertisements and magazines. I wasn't really allowed to do much other than play guitar. And so I ended up doing that a lot.
So you literally lived for like 21 years just at your house.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, what did you do with your time?
I went hunting a lot. I was allowed to hunt. I actually shot a bow and arrow, and I got really, really good at it. And I would put like 2 deer in the freezer every year for the family. Oh, I also learned how to turn animal skins into leather. I was tanning hides for a while. I learned the taxidermy art, and I actually mounted a few deer heads that I shot. I mounted a coyote, some fish, buffalo. I mounted a life-size deer once. Yeah.
You're a little bit older than me just by a few years, but I think about like my childhood, and it was like, you'd like go to the movies with friends, or I spent a lot of time on the internet.
Oh, sure. And those are the top things my parents were trying to shield me from. The top. They did not want any worldly influences on me whatsoever. They were even careful, because you got to remember, they came out of a normal lifestyle. My grandparents were not Amish. So it got to the point where my grandparents, my aunts and uncles, on my mom's or my dad's side, they would invite us over for, like, say, Thanksgiving dinners or Christmas get-togethers. And it got to the point where my parents wouldn't even go, just because there was going to be alcoholic beverages there. And that's something else that they believe highly against, to the point where they refused to go to my grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary because they served beer and wine there. And they didn't want their children being exposed to that.
Like, did you even know what the internet was?
Not really. No, after I moved out, I met some friends. I started becoming social and met some friends. I learned what MySpace was. I opened up a MySpace in 2006.
Okay, let me ask you this. Looking back on your childhood, do you feel like your parents were different on you than they were your other siblings?
Well, it was me, and then it was my sisters. So there was a 4-year difference between me and my oldest sister. And then there was a 2-year, then the kids were spaced out 2 years apart from there on down. And I have a brother, and he's 10 years younger than me. So he wasn't even in the picture. Or he was when I was 10. Yeah, he was born when I was 10. So my teen years, he was very, very young. So yeah, they did treat me differently than my sisters. I don't even understand some of the things they did. They took the locks off my door to my bedroom. They took the handle off and put a closet handle on it, one that didn't have a lock. And they installed locks on my sister's door with a extra latch. You know, I thought that was kind of weird. And I even asked my dad, I'm like, you guys act like you're trying to keep me out of the room. I said, I'm not trying to go up and be weird with my sisters. And then my dad tried to play it off like, well, we just don't want your little brother wandering through the house and yada, yada, yada. I don't know, I just got really weirded out by that.
Okay, let me ask you a really personal question.
Sure.
Did you, like, This is such a weird question to ask, but I do feel like it's kind of important. Did you like masturbate growing up?
I did, but not till I was probably 15, maybe 16.
Did you have like wet dreams? Because it's like,
what? Yeah, I believe I did.
What would even be like the inspiration?
Well, you don't I lived on a farm. So as I grew up, I saw animals making babies. And so I kind of figured out as I came into puberty that, you know, how babies were made, you know, and that sort of thing. I saw what the male goat was doing to the female goat. So I started putting two and two together.
Did your parents ever talk to you about sex or anything like that?
Yeah, kind of. When I was like 18 or 19, my dad kind of talked to me about it.
Oh my God.
By that time I had it figured out.
Do you think that at any point, like, I'd probably assume more your dad than your mom. Do you ever think there was like, do you think he ever like, would be like, oh, I'm running up to Walmart, and then he would go to like the bar and get like a beer or something, or like sneak away and do stuff, or no?
Mm-mm. No. No, he sucks up to my mother quite a bit. He is miserable. I feel bad for him. Even today, like, I feel so bad for him. Like, he's not in good health. He's miserable, but he'll do whatever my mom wants him to do. And I remember my dad crying to me, telling me he don't deserve my mother, and he wishes he could be a better husband for her. And so, like, I almost feel like he cheated on her and she could have left, but she didn't. She just took the reins and she's cracking the whip.
Oh God.
That's just, I feel bad, honestly.
What was your relationship like with your parents growing up?
I tried to make them happy. I didn't want, you know, my parents had a plan for my life. They had a vision. They wanted me to marry into another girl from the community and live nearby, go to the same fellowship, live the same lifestyle, live happily ever after, have children, maybe eventually run my own construction company. And that didn't happen. I couldn't take all the rules. And so I honestly, during my teen years, I was butting heads with my parents quite a bit because of all the freaking rules. I wasn't trying to. They just didn't let me do anything.
You knew growing up that, because this is where it gets kind of hard. Like, when I do these interviews with people and I'm like, I try really hard to get into your mind and understand exactly what it's like. But like, I don't understand what it's like to grow up in this. So It makes me curious, like, were you aware that like you were different and that like you were being treated different than other people in the world? Because like, you don't have access to TV, you get a newspaper, but like, are you really reading it? And like,
no. So my dad owned a small construction company. It was bigger when we moved to Detroit, but when we moved out to the country, he slowly began to build his business out there, and it never got as big as it was in Detroit, but it was enough to survive on. And I think my brother's doing a lot of the work today because my dad's health is not that great. But my dad would take me with him to some job sites. So my father sanded and refinished hardwood floors. And some of the houses he worked in were existing homes that were being lived in. And so my dad would take me to these jobs sometimes. And once we stepped foot inside some of these homes, I was exposed to what a normal household might look like. The TV would be on, and who knows what would be playing on the TV, or they might have a radio playing with interesting music. I would see magazines laying around there, and sometimes I use the bathroom on some of these job sites, and there would be a basket of magazines right there, and I would go through them, and I got to see what some girls looked like. It wasn't even porn. I was looking in, like, just women's health magazines and Life magazine.
Martha Stewart Living.
I come across a Victoria's Secret magazine once, and I cut the pages out and took them home with me, and I masturbated to them that night. True story. And I thought I was going to hell for that.
Oh my god. That, and yeah, that's the other thing too, is like, did your parents, I mean, they gave you these rules, but like, did they guilt you into, because when I just recently did an interview with the girl who grew up in a cult, and there's a lot of like shame and guilt in order to keep people doing what they want them to do.
Oh yeah, for sure. Or fear that you're going to burn someday if you don't do these things.
And so, I don't know. Is Amish, is it a religion?
So my parents will probably tell you they're not Amish. They're going to tell you they're Bible-believing Christians if you ask them. But their lifestyle is very similar to the Amish and the Mennonites. The Mennonites and the Amish, they're like cousins.
Yeah.
But the Mennonites are a little more slack in their rules. The Amish are a little tighter, but like both of them are sneaky. Like both sides will sneak off. Like the Amish, they had TVs in their barns that they were running off car batteries, and they had a stack of DVDs in there. Like it was crazy. And they had phones. They were allowed to use their cell phones on the job site, but not at home. And these guys were on porn on their cell phones. Amish, this true Amish. So every side has, you know, the sneaky members. Because I asked them about, I'm like, yeah, I thought you guys weren't allowed to do that. And they're like, well, as long as the bishop doesn't find out. I'm like, oh, wow.
Oh, God. Well, yeah. And I think, like, within any religion, there's always going to be people who sneak off.
Yeah.
But I just think because your parents literally just, they, like, stuck you on an island and cut you off from everybody. At least within the Amish community, all the Amish boys are getting together, and like, you know, one brings back the Victoria's Secret magazine, and they're like, wait, this exists. And like,
right.
It, you know, it grows and it gets more over the years, and they get more access to things. When you would go to church, what did that whole experience look like?
So we usually met at people's houses, you know, members of the community. Like I said, the fathers would usually be on rotation as far as the speaking went. And then we would have like a potluck dinner afterwards, and all the families would hang out. And each family, they usually had lots of children. Like it was nothing for a family to have 10 kids. But some had more than that. Some, I remember one Amish family had like 15 kids.
Oh God.
So the meetings that we went to, there were usually around 10 families per meeting.
Okay.
Because they had to split them up. So like this house would host and this house would host. There was a lot of Amish in where we lived. So it'd be about 10 families there and a lot of kids. And we would set up chairs in rows, sometimes outside, sometimes in the barn, sometimes in the house, depending on who was facilitating it. And the fathers would read from the Bible. We would sing some hymns together, a cappella. I think sometimes they may have had a piano, but for the most part, I wasn't allowed to listen to any other music besides a cappella music and soft piano music. Nothing up tempo, not even bluegrass gospel, which I heard that and I really liked that. And I thought it'd be okay because it was gospel, but my parents really didn't approve of the up tempo stuff. So at the meetings, they would sing hymns, and then the fathers would preach from the Bible, and then we'd pray. And we'd have dinner afterwards.
Were you allowed to talk to girls when you went to that or no?
Hell no. So it's really awkward. Whenever like my family would greet another family, the fathers would shake hands, and I think the mothers would shake hands or hug each other, but the guys never touched the other man's wife. And the children never, I would shake another young man's hand or the father's hand, but I wouldn't shake the mother's hand of the other family. And we never talked to the girls. But the rule, number one rule was boys don't talk to girls or touch girls, anything like that. Like, we didn't associate with girls until we got married.
What?
Yeah. We weren't allowed to, we weren't even allowed to touch girls until we got married. So when you kissed them at the altar or held their hand, that was the first time you would be touching the girl.
If you were, okay, so if you were dating a girl, or I'm sure they called it courting a girl.
I mean, courtship, yeah.
Okay, what the hell does a courtship look like in the Amish?
The parents are very involved.
Oh, God.
Very involved. So they actually tried to marry me off a couple times, and it just wasn't happening. But yeah, so the parents are basically there with the young couple every time they hang out. Every time they hang out, it's like in a group setting or a family setting. They're not alone. If they were alone, it was usually soon before they were to be married. And by being alone, I mean like they were allowed to walk around the border of the hay field together, which was in eyesight of the kitchen where everyone was. So they were like really without supervision. So but we were never allowed to be alone with anyone from the opposite sex.
So you went on, I mean, you courted a few girls, right?
No. They wanted to see me end up with a couple of these girls. And I, like I said, I wanted to please my family, you know, like I wanted to make them happy, but deep down inside, I didn't want to marry who they wanted me to marry. And I even met up with they had me meet up with the girl's parents of this one family. And the father started asking me some down to earth questions, and I was straight up honest with him. And it was right there in front of my parents too. I told him, I said, listen, I said, I've got nothing against listening to country music. I said, I actually want to, when I have the freedom to have my own radio, I would like to listen to country music. And I would also like to go to some water parks, and I'd like to go swimming at some beaches. And I understand there's going to be women's in bikinis there, but guess what? I kind of want my wife to wear a bikini too. So as long as that's clear. And then her parents, they were like shocked, but I had to be honest. And so they're like, well, this isn't going to work out.
When,
but I'm sorry. Like,
when I can have my own radio, I'd really like to listen to country music. And you were just like a total heathen for saying that.
Yeah. Yeah, at that point, my parents really thought I was a lost soul.
Like, that is so crazy, especially too, because, like, I mean, your parents, you said they weren't Amish before this, but, like, I'm assuming they grew up pretty normal childhoods, correct?
Yes.
And so I think two thoughts that I'm having is, number one, that had to be even more difficult for them to conform than it had to be for you. Like, you were only 9. It's not like you had lived an entire life beforehand. But then number two, it seems so hard. Like, how could they – I always think this. Like, when parents are super, super strict with their kids, but you also know, like, what an awful child they were and, like, all the bad things that they got into.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, they're so strict with their own – like, how could your parents have done – lived an entire life and then, like, have a panic attack over the fact that you said that – you wanted to listen to country music and maybe visit a water park and go to the beach. Like, that is so fucking crazy.
That's things that they used to do. My dad used to play lead guitar in a rock band before I was born.
Oh, God. Yeah.
My dad used to smoke cigarettes. And I found out, here's a funny story. My family, we had this old RV that we would take trips in, and my dad took us up north to Sault Ste. Marie. We went into the border into Canada. I was like 18 years old at the time. We pull up to the security checkpoint, and the officer there asked my dad if he had ever been to jail. And all of us kids, you know, we kind of crowded around the front of the RV, you know, looking through the window to see the officer. And then when he asked that question, we're like, oh, we laughed like, oh yeah, right, like dad's ever been to jail. And then my dad, he was like, oh, yeah. And then we were all like, what? dad's been to jail? And then the officer was like, oh, what for, sir? And then we're all like, listen closer. My dad was like, oh, cocaine.
What the fuck?
So I was shocked. So like, I didn't say anything, but I was like, wow, there's a lot about my family that I don't even know.
That is insane. I can't imagine I mean, I haven't really done much of anything in my life. I never went to parties in high school. I've never drank alcohol. Like, I've never been a very exciting person. And I can't imagine like being, and I don't mean this like in a mean way. I try not to like put too much judgment on the people that you're talking about, but like your parents sound a little crazy.
Trust me, I feel the same. I don't know if crazy is the word. I feel like they're slaves to however they believe, because the rules that they enforce on themselves is like keeping them slaves to the farm. And I don't know, like my parents could be living a much more happy life if they just like loosened up a little bit. But my mom was always on eggshells about me or my father seeing other women in public. So we never went into public much for that reason. My mom would go do all the grocery shopping with my sisters. So like, we didn't really have a reason to go unless my dad needed to go to the hardware store for something. So that's why I wonder if my dad ever cheated on my mom.
And do you think that your mom thought you were going to grow up to be the same way?
Possibly.
What was your relationship like growing up with your siblings?
It was kind of non-existent, to be honest. I wasn't ever allowed to hug them, so we never really got close. I would help my sisters in the kitchen once in a while. I'd help wash the dishes and, you know, clean the counters after a meal. But usually I took care of the farm work outside.
You were a complete loner, basically.
Yeah.
In life.
Yep. I never had parental support or anything.
Let me ask you this, and I hope that I word it correctly, but now knowing what you know and the life that you've lived and everything like that, looking back at you from age 9 until 21, do you think that you were like socially weird or awkward?
Very. Very, but I didn't realize it until I actually had the opportunity to put myself in a social setting. So when I moved out, when I was 21 years old, I actually joined a local church, which, you know, it was like a normal church, non-denominational. We had a praise and worship team, which I actually ended up playing guitar with them, but we had bass guitar, drums. So it wasn't like super strict. It was a nice church. I made some friends there, and some of them were going to the local college. And I remember hanging out with one of my friends in his dorm one time, and I heard these two guys walking down the hall, and the one guy was talking about someone making out with someone.
Oh, man.
And I had no idea what that meant. And I asked my buddy, I'm like, dude, I said, he said that he was making out with someone. And I didn't know what that meant. Like, what are they making? And how does that even make sense? Or did I hear them correctly? And my buddy just like busted up laughing. And he explained to me what making out was. Someone else had to explain to me what a blowjob was. Because let's face it, if you never heard that term before, and then all of a sudden when someone says that, a blowjob, what are you going to think? It made no sense.
Well, and I think too, like, actually, I have a friend, and it's a really funny story, but and she did not grow up Amish or super religious or anything like that. But the first time she went to give her boyfriend a blowjob, she actually started blowing on his penis because she thought that's what it was. And like, that was a normal person, like growing up in a
right
normal home. And like, you weren't exposed to any of this.
No, I was socially awkward to say the least. I didn't really even know how to dress. Knew nothing about style.
Yeah, what did you wear?
Well, growing up on the farm, I wore pants and usually denim pants and a button-down shirt. If I was working, I'd wear a t-shirt. Usually always tucked in. My shirts were usually always tucked in. And I was never allowed to take my shirt off, you know, in front of anyone else. So I had to keep my chest covered at all times. And shorts, sometimes when it was really hot out, and I had some worn jeans that had like holes worn through the knees, my mom would cut those and I could wear those as shorts if I was working outside on the hot summer days.
This is a weird question, but like, did you work out at all, or was just like manual labor your way?
It was manual labor. I milked cows, and so that built my forearms quite a bit. And we stacked hay in the barn. That was a workout. I cleaned the barns, I shoveled manure, a lot of work. In the wintertime, I had to haul water. We only had one outdoor faucet, and I had to manually haul buckets of water from the one faucet and distribute it to all the animals. And that took some time.
What did a typical day look like for you?
In my teen years, my dad started taking me out to job sites when I was like 14 years old. So my mother would allow me to be flexible with my schooling. She did keep close track on my schooling, though. I will give my mom credit for that. Like, she used good curriculum, and I feel like I was taught really well. She actually had me state tested one time, and I came out above average on like every subject besides science, and that I was just average on, I guess. So I don't know if I'd still maintain those scores today, but I did at one point. But I would wake up on a Monday and I would do the chores. I would go, let's see, I think I did chores before I ate breakfast. And chores would take a half hour or so, depending. Summertime chores were quicker than wintertime chores. Come in, eat breakfast, pack a lunch, and go to work with my dad. Come home, do chores, play guitar in my room, go to bed, and do it all again the next day. And that's when my dad had work. So, like, my dad didn't always work every day. There were some days that, like, he didn't have work. And on those days, I would just work around the farm. My mom had a list of chores for me to do at all times. So I never really had a break.
I can't, and I'm sure that people who grew up on, I get it. Like, I grew up in, like, a suburban, like, metro kind of area, and I've never lived on a farm. I've never worked on a farm. I don't even know if I've ever been to an actual farm. And so I'm sure people who did grow up on farms and they're listening to this, like, they can probably relate somewhat, like, you know, having to get up early. I mean, at least from what I've – this is so bad, but, like, from what I've seen in movies is, like, a lot of times you do have to get up, like, before school and do, like, some sort of farm job, and then you go to school and then whatever, and you come home and like homework, and you'll probably have like another farm job that you have to do. But like,
yeah, it was work. My life was work.
Literally, that's all you did. That's insane. Work. I literally was such a lazy
while being deprived
child.
Of women.
Yeah, it's like you were meant to be like an adult, except for right. You didn't get any of the adult benefits.
Nope.
Oh my God. I literally feel like I was a pretty lazy kid, but like, I feel like I was extra lazy now because my parents would give us chores every day and I would spend more time trying to make it look like I did my job than like actually doing it. Like one of the jobs was I had to vacuum the tile in the bathrooms and you had to vacuum the rugs when you did it. So I'd go in with my foot and I'd wipe my foot so that the rug was all going the same direction. Like if I had just gotten the vacuum out, it would have been over, but yeah, I was really lazy in comparison to you.
So my mom would actually double check my work because after I was done with my chores, I could go in my bedroom and play guitar. And I remember at least one solid memory of doing just that, finishing my chores, going in my room and pulling out my guitar to play. And my mother busted in there and she's like, did you get your chores done? I was like, yeah. And she's like, did you wipe down the ceiling fans? I was like, yeah, I did. And she's like, well, let's go check. And like, she would like walk me back through again all the chores, and she would like check. She's like, this isn't done, do that over again, this isn't clean, get over here, you can't play guitar right now. That was irritating, not gonna lie, because I felt like she was making some of that up sometimes. She couldn't handle how quick I was getting my work done, and because I, you know, the quicker I got done, the more time I had to play guitar. So I tried to do that, but I still did a good job. She was just picky.
Okay, did your parents ever say to you they love you or give you any sort of affection?
We were required, and by saying we, I'm saying me and my sisters and my brother, we were required to greet my parents with a hug and a kiss every morning. when we woke up before we like continued with our day. And we also said goodnight to them and gave them a hug and a kiss before we went to bed.
But did it feel so affectionate, or did it feel like this is just what I'm supposed to do?
This is what I was supposed to do. And it was me giving them the affection.
Do you feel like that has fucked with your head at all?
Yeah, a little bit.
That's so crazy. I grew up in a very, very like affectionate family. Like we would fight and we would scream and stuff. But like every time we'd hang up the phone, we'd be like, I love you. And then like, if you didn't, like if my dad like quickly hung up or something, I'd call back and like, you didn't say I love you.
Right.
Like I'm someone like I need affection. I need that in life. I think because of the house that I grew up in. And like, I can't imagine it literally. And I could be wrong and I could just be speculating, but it literally feels like you grew up in a house with like your bosses and you were the worker.
Yeah. I didn't feel a lot of love or affection. And I am a very affectionate person today. Like I really appreciate when someone shows me affection. I really appreciate that.
When did your rebel? I mean, I don't know if you rebelled or not, but I imagine if eventually you left, there had to be some sort of kind of rebellion before, or did you just decide one day, like, I'm gone?
No, I kind of butted heads with my parents, you know, through the years. I was trying to stay at the farm. I was trying to wait for this right girl to come along, one that they approved of and one that I could see myself with the rest of my life. You know, I was hoping for some miracle that all that would work out. I was honestly praying, because I was taught that was what you were supposed to do. And that's not how it worked out for me. As I worked with my father through my teen years, I saved my money. Because I really wasn't, it's not like I was able to go to the mall and spend it.
So he would pay you?
Yeah, he would pay me and I would save it. I saved up like $7,000. And I talked my parents into giving me the freedom to buy a house like 15 minutes away. It was a bank repo. It was cheap. I told him I wasn't trying to live in it. I just wanted to like, just, it was an investment and like, I'll fix it up and I'll sell it, make some money. You know, I understand I'm not married yet. We're waiting for God to bring me a wife, but I'd like to buy this house. And so they let me do that. And they also, I got to back up a little bit before that, they did let me buy a little truck for the farm. So I had this 92 Ford Ranger. So I had a set of wheels at the very end there. And I got a job with some members of some Amish members of another community nearby that needed a driver for their construction crew. And so my parents let me take that job. Well, the first day I worked with those Amish people, the main driver who usually takes the cordless drill batteries home to charge, he forgot them. And so my Amish boss, who didn't have electricity, he asked me, he's like, hey, could you take these? Gary forgot these batteries. Could you take these home and charge them tonight? I was like, sure, no problem. I took them home and my dad is like, so how'd your first day go with the other Amish crew? I'm like, pretty good. I told him about the batteries. I was like, I just got to charge these two batteries tonight. And my dad threw a fit about me charging the batteries, but using his electricity to charge the batteries. Okay. For my boss. He like threw a fit about it. So I apologized to my dad for not checking in with him first before asking if I could use his electricity to charge batteries. I honestly didn't think it would be a big deal. So I told my dad I'd throw him some money for using electricity. And I just told him I had to charge these batteries. I couldn't show up in the morning with dead batteries. We needed these on the job tomorrow. So I talked my dad into letting me charge the batteries. The next day when I was gone, by this time, my dad had got a cell phone, a little flip phone, and I had a flip phone too, so they could keep tabs on me. And my dad texted me the next day after charging the batteries and said, hey, we moved all of your stuff over to your house, so don't even bother coming home tonight.
What the fuck?
And after work, I drove, instead of going to my parents' house, I drove over to my little fixer-upper that I had bought. And sure enough, my bed was in there. My little dresser was in there. The clothes that I had were over there. And that was it. They basically moved me out after that last argument about the batteries. That was it.
That makes me so sad.
I sat on my steps in that house and I cried for a solid half hour. I was 21 years old at the time.
That literally makes me so sad to hear that. Like, I feel stupid, but like, I started like tearing up just because I'm like, why? Like, and like, thankfully, one part of me is like, thank God you finally fucking got out of there. But at the same time, to just be like, just a text message. It's like, hey, we moved your shit out while you were gone. See you never.
Basically. Nothing was the same after that. They treated me different after that point. I think they viewed me as a negative influence and they didn't want me influencing my younger brothers or sisters. Because after I left, they cracked the whip down even harder on them. Like, my brother was not allowed to buy a truck like I was.
Because of some batteries. Like, I literally am so wasteful. Like, we run everything in this house all the time. I'm like, our electric is set up. Like, we're not supposed to. It's smart if we don't run a lot of stuff from like 3 to 8. But like at 7, I'm like, oh, I'm fucking hot. I'm like, just turn the air down. Who cares? And it's like, no, it ruins the whole thing. And it's, I don't care. Like,
right.
Cordless drill batteries probably take like an hour to fully charge and maybe cost like 2 cents on your total electric bill. Like,
yeah, I don't know. Like, the way I look at it is, if I had a son and he was working a responsible job, like a construction job, and he needed to charge some batteries for his new boss, he just started this job, I would have been more than happy to charge batteries up for him. Like, what else can I do to help you, son?
Yes.
That's how I would be with my child. So I don't understand what the deal was. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Could you imagine having a son who's 21 years old and like the big highlight of his day is like finishing up his chores so he can go in his room and play a couple of hymns on his guitar?
Yeah, that was it.
Like, could you imagine if that was your worry? Like, oh, I hope he's not playing the bluegrass gospel. Yeah. Just the hymns on the guitar.
For real.
Like, the amount of shit that like in college, I remember I had a friend and she was like, oh, my brother just got arrested in 7th grade for dealing at his school. I'm like, oh God, like you were 21 playing guitar in your room. Like, that's just, it's so fucking crazy what a good kid you were. Mm-hmm. And you didn't get into any, I mean, yeah, you did cut out the Victoria's Secret pages in the magazine.
But, yeah.
You know, like your parents in, by all accounts other than their own, like they had it pretty damn good with you.
You would think, right? Like, I feel like for all the things they were worried about, I kind of did better than they did. You know, when I found out some of the other things that my parents had done growing up, like I was like, okay, well, I've never been to jail for coke. Like, technically, aren't I doing a little better than my dad did? Like, come on.
Yeah. Okay, so you're alone in your house and how long did you end up staying there?
3 years.
Okay, and what was your life like when you were on your own there?
Right away, I bought a CD player, Sony system, two nice speakers. It came with an 8-inch subwoofer. It's like $200 at Walmart. I bought that, and I went into the CD department at Walmart, the electronic department. Mind you, it was like my first time in there. And so I'm like, all right, I want to expose myself to some music. Like, what is popular today? I checked around the CDs, and they had one called, I think it was the Now 24 album.
Oh.
Fergalicious was on there. what else? Big Sean, I think. I can't remember. But, yeah, so I popped that in the because I grew up with a large family. So there was always people in the house making noise. There was always something going on. And now all of a sudden, literally overnight, I'm in a 3-bedroom, 2-story house alone. And it was quiet. And it's not like it was a furnished house. Like, my bed was in there. They just put it in the living room. And I left it in there for a while. I got hooked up with some this other family that my family used to hang out with, like right after they moved to the country. They met this one family that I thought was really cool. but they were kind of strict, but not as strict as my parents were. Like, the girls were still allowed to wear pants and shorts. And when my family made their transition to away from the shorts and to the dresses for the girls, they quit hanging out with that family. Well, I hit them up because I thought, always thought they were really cool. And I remember their one son, I talked to him on the phone. He's like, hey, why don't you come to church Sunday? We'll hang out. We'll catch up. I was like, sounds great. So I went to church that Sunday, and I was active in that church the whole 3 years that I lived at my house there. I ended up playing guitar in the praise and worship band. I became active in the youth group there. I helped. I was an Awana leader for the children's summer Bible school. And I started making friends, and I got out in the world a little bit. Never in like a bad way, like what my parents had feared. Like I didn't really like get exposed. I didn't really even expose myself to drinking, the bar scene, or that. I don't know. I just never got into that at that point in my life. It was almost like being exposed to the world in a soft way, like not hardcore. Like, it's not like I went from Amish and I dove directly into the drugs and alcohol and the bar scene and the strippers and all that. I went to like a more normal church with a normal praise and worship band and with a youth group that went on ski trips. They went to the water parks. They went to Walmart, you know, like normal people. And those people are really cool people. And I really appreciate them being friends with me in my life at that time.
I think that's crazy, because I think if I had been put in your situation, first week out, I probably would have died, because I probably would have just done everything.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have known about it, and you wouldn't have known where to get it.
That is true. That is true. Because I think about myself, and I'm like, I am someone who, like, if I diet for like 3 days, 3 days is usually how long I can diet for. And on that fourth day, I eat more than I would have in those 3 days, because I'm like, I've just been deprived.
Right.
And I've been deprived of everything, and I just need to take all of it in right now.
Well, as I started living, I began to slowly become exposed to the drinking and the drugs, because, you know, there was a couple people at the church that I went to that would go to the bar on a Saturday night, but they'd played it off like they didn't. And they also had a case of beer in their fridge at home, but they just like never told anyone about that. And so I would like hang out with them. I was like, oh, so this person's drinking. I guess I'll try a beer too, you know? And then, you know, I started exploring deeper and deeper. And it was around the time where I met my wife while I was going to church there, that a lot of the people from that church actually started shunning me for some things. And I ended up leaving the town altogether. We moved to Metro Detroit.
Detroit is really where your life kind of starts to make a big change, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so walk me through getting to the point where you went to Detroit.
So while I was still going to that small church that I was telling you about where I played guitar, There was a young girl who was going to church there too. And her name was Stacy. And Stacy was living in the apartment in my pastor's basement of his house. He had a little apartment down there, and this girl, Stacy, was living there. And so I inquired about her and found out that her dad was the Baptist pastor of the church in town, of the First Baptist Church in Hillsdale. He was the pastor there, and she had left home when she was 18. And I later found out it was for similar reasons. Her parents were pretty strict too, not quite as strict as mine, but pretty strict, and she left home for a guy, and he ended up breaking up with her like a month after she left home, but she never wanted to go back home. So she kind of bounced around from friend's house to friend's house, kind of unstable, not really sure what to do with life. She just didn't want to go back to mom and dad. So my pastor allowed her to live in his basement with him and his wife while she worked a job at this small pizza place in town. So they're trying to help her get on her feet. Well, I got to hang out with her at church, and we got to be pretty good friends, and we liked each other a lot, and we had lots in common. So she never thought she'd meet a guy who grew up as conservative as she did, and I was thinking likewise. So we kind of hit it off, and the church saw that happening. They saw us becoming very close, and I want to point out, that Stacy and I weren't even having sex at this point. We were hanging out a lot, but we were not being sexually active with each other. But the church, because they were trying to help Stacy get on her feet, and they also knew the type of family that I came from, and they knew I kind of had a wild tendency, my pastor cracked the whip on me and Stacy and said that we weren't allowed to see each other except at church. When that happened, Stacy and I were at a point where we were good enough friends, or we just weren't cool with that kind of control. So she actually moved out of my pastor's basement and moved into my house. But we played it off like she moved in with one of her girlfriends. We didn't want anyone to know that she was living with me, because that was highly frowned upon, even in that church, if you're living with someone you're not married to. After about a month, I told her, I said, listen, like, small town, someone is going to find out that we're actually living together, and our parents are going to find out, the whole church is going to know. I said, if we really like each other this much and we want to be with each other all the time, let's go to the courthouse, get a marriage license, we'll make it legal, and then we'll tell everyone we're legally married and we're living together. And that is what we did. And then the rumor went around the church that I had knocked Stacy up, and that's the reason we eloped and went off and got married, which wasn't true at all.
Did you guys have sex before you were married?
We, from the time we declared to everyone that we were actually dating, we waited 6 months to have sex.
Okay.
I wanted her to know that she meant a lot to me. It wasn't all about that, and I still wanted to hang out with her. So it's a little sacrifice on my part, but I think it worked out well.
Was Stacy the person that you lost your virginity to?
No. Okay. It was another girl.
Okay. So yeah. That's why everyone thought you were a wild child. You had lost your virginity.
Yes. Okay. And especially for that first, because they were friends with that first girl too, and she was a wild child. And so they didn't want to see me corrupt Stacy.
Okay. So you guys get married, and yep. Everyone thinks that you've actually knocked her up, but she's not pregnant.
No. And it was right around that time that I lost my job. I got laid off because they didn't need me anymore. And our town was running a 22% unemployment rate at the time. It was 2008, I believe. And so my wife and I, we decided, you know what, the church has kind of given us a little bit of a disconnect feeling too because of all this. And our parents aren't even really happy with us. Like, there wasn't much tying us to that small town. So we decided to just move to Metro Detroit, bigger city, more people, more jobs, more opportunity, you know, let's go. And so we moved to Wixom, Michigan, got a little apartment there. She got a job across the street at Myers. I got a job down the road at a JCPenney as the hanger boy. I would gather up the hangers at the registers and box them up on a pallet to put on the truck. And she stocked shelves at Myers.
And were you happy?
I mean, I was happy I was with her. We were really happy. We didn't have much money. We were making a combined income of less than $15 an hour.
Oh, geez.
And we would, on dates, we would actually go to the McDonald's across the street and get a hot fudge sundae. That's all we could afford.
But for the first time in your life, like, you have this opportunity for like a completely fresh new start.
Yes.
Nobody knows. That's what it felt like. Nobody knows you guys. Nobody knows your past. Nobody knows your parents, your families, anything like that. And I imagine that that had to be a pretty liberating feeling.
So liberating.
Okay.
Especially when we started having real fun. Like when we started going out and when we started having money to go out. A lot changed when we moved to Detroit.
How long are you working at the JCPenney for?
It wasn't even that long. I think it was just 3 or 4 months because Stacy had this other friend who told her, said, hey, you should try to get a job at Hooters. You might be able to make some money there because Stacy had some – everyone joked about Stacy having big boobs. She did have a nice set of boobs going on. And we were hard up for money at the time, so I was like, I don't care. If you want to go waitress at Hooters, go for it. You know, maybe we'll make a little extra money. She worked at Hooters. Not even that long, not even a week, I think, because another girl there said, hey, if you want to make some real money with me.
You know who else wants to make some real money? Me. But unfortunately, I think a lot of the people who listen to my podcast might also be Amish and just listening in the barn at night when the bishop goes to sleep, because no one is sharing Beyond the Secret on social media. Guys, That is how this podcast grows. And so I'm pleading with you to please share Beyond the Secret on your Instagram, put it on your stories, put it in the Facebook groups, do what you gotta do so people can indulge with you. You know, put a disclaimer on there. Hey, if you have a stick up your ass, you probably won't like it, but everyone without a stick up their ass will like it. I just need you guys doing the Lord's work and sharing this podcast with everybody, because as it grows, I will have more time that I can dedicate to it. But I'm about to go into my busy season, and I don't know what this schedule's going to look like. But anyways, next week is part two, and I had so many different titles for what I wanted to call this, and I was just like, you know what? Let's just keep it Breaking Amish. We'll keep it simple. We're not going to give them all of the story in the title, but I promise you, you don't want to miss part two. I will see all of you guys next week.
Everybody has a secret.